environment is still rather new for me.
Yeah.
I can't say I love fitness. You know, that is not what got me to this point.
That's interesting.
And if you would have asked me this years ago, I would have laughed at you. I hated gym class as a kid.
Sure.
I used to wear like dress shoes on gym day in elementary school, so yeah. I would get to sit out, you know.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah.
And I actually failed gym class 1 year in high school. For lack of participation.
But it seems like I can imagine gym class, you know, being in that environment where you're told what to do is kind of, I guess, a little different. You know, you maybe just didn't like the fact you didn't have any freedom, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I think there are lots of things I didn't like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely am not here because of my love for fitness. Like, I think most people in the fitness industry seem to be. They have a genuine love for fitness. And I'm not saying I don't like it. I definitely do love what it does for my mental health, what it does for my body. And I absolutely 100% see and understand the need for fitness.
Sure.
It's just part of what I have to do, not necessarily my love for activity.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love what it brings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really brings a lot to the table that I didn't know I didn't have before.
But it's funny too, because I mean, I get the same thing. Like, you know, it for me, it kind of started out a necessity, you know, kind of like you said. It was more or less, it wasn't like you loved it in the beginning. You kind of maybe grew to love it for certain reasons, but in the beginning it's like, you know, you kind of go into it because somebody tells you to, or you know, you get a trainer or something. I don't know. But what brought you into it, you know, in the beginning, even though you didn't like it?
So, to not get too lengthy with the story.
You can get lengthy with the story. That's fine. That's okay. It is perfectly fine.
I have learned how to sum it up a lot quicker now that I've been telling it so much.
Sure.
I have been overweight since childhood. My first recollection of knowing I was overweight was when I was 8 years old. Mm. So it goes back very, very far. I have been obese since high school.
Okay.
And have been morbidly obese probably since my early 20s.
Wow.
So I have been fighting the losing weight, fad diet, wishing I was skinny, mental quantum since as little as I can remember. You know, I always remember dreaming what it would be like to be, you know, a normal size. Because when you're growing up that way, especially, you know, I'm 43 years old. So when I was growing up, fortunately, there were not a lot of other obese kids, where now it seems that there are a lot of obese kids.
It's,
you know,
big
I was
problem.
Singled out.
Yeah,
it is a big problem.
Yeah.
And again, fortunately, it wasn't a big problem back then. But you know, so I can still to this day name the other kids who I grew up with who were also overweight, because there just weren't that many.
Yeah.
So I always would, you know, when you're a kid, especially, you know, wishing you could wear certain trends and different fashions, and being physically able to do different activities in gym class, or if you're playing recreational sports.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to do any of those things. So the only thing I could do was imagine what it would be like.
Sure.
And I first remember trying to lose weight when I was about 12. And that, of course, was unsuccessful because I didn't know anything about losing weight, and no one in my family did either. You know, it was just wasn't.
And you were 12 too. It's like, it's
12.
So, yeah, that's people don't start, you know, at that age. So it's kind of, you know, I guess you haven't reached that body maturity yet that you can kind of, you know, get rid of the, or see progress, you know?
Right. So. And you don't know. The only thing I knew at 12, taking that on my own, was, you don't eat, or you don't eat a lot. You know? So back then, when you're 12, you think you need to eat salads and be hungry.
Grilled chicken and all the
exactly.
Yeah, super healthy stuff.
So that lasts, you know, in theory, that probably lasts a day or two, if
Okay.
that. I can remember a couple times of feeling deprived going to bed, but again, I never was successful. Excuse me. So it's not like I went months and developed an eating disorder because I wasn't eating because I wasn't successful. I
Sure.
just gave up and went back to binge eating and sneak eating and eating things that made me feel good.
So it's kind of it's back into like life triggers. Like there's just, you know, when life hits you, I guess you kind of found yourself going back into the familiar. You know,
Absolutely.
yeah, but that's understandable. I mean, it's an amazing journey that you took, you know, that you had to deal with all the mental aspects of maybe yo-yoing and kind of dealing with, you know, sudden weight gain and then weight loss and that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't, you know, how I got to this point at 43 years old, I could never have been where I am mentally and physically without all of these things, you know, from 8 years old up, making me and building me to be to be where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, I got married when I was, you know, my early 20s. I had two kids by the time I was 30.
Okay.
I can't, you know, I can't do the common blame my pregnancy for my weight gain because I've been overweight forever.
Sure.
With each failed attempt at weight loss, I gained more weight and consistently got heavier and heavier and heavier until I, in 2014, I lost 100 pounds.
Oh my gosh,
I
congratulations.
went on a, yeah, it
Yeah.
was an amazing time. You know, I had yo-yoed forever. I had learned so much about losing weight over the years as an adult, you joining programs like Weight Watchers and just learning and reading and trying because I had never ever accepted the fact that I would just accept that this was the way I was. I was always trying.
Sure.
And in 2014, the switch went off and I focused on my health and I was making better choices and I was learning how to eat healthier, cooking different ways, learning different, you know, trying new foods, new vegetables, new fruits, learning how to balance and not restrict and adding activity. And I was doing all these things and I lost 100 pounds in a little over a year. And I really thought that that was it. I thought this was,
That
I
was the
figured it
turning point.
out.
Yeah.
It was a turning point. I went from 325 pounds to 225 pounds.
That's
And
beautiful. That's awesome.
that weight, that 225 pounds, when you look at a chart or when you people who there are people who that's their high weight,
Sure.
225 pounds is still obese. It's still extremely overweight.
Sure.
But when you weigh 325 pounds and then now you weigh 225 pounds, you feel like a runway model,
Yeah,
you know.
you probably feel good all over. Your knees feel good. You probably really do reap the benefits, you know, even.
Absolutely. It was so
Yeah.
amazing. And then just like that switch went off on, and I can tell you, like I'm very good at these timelines. I woke up on a Wednesday. It was March 19th, 2014, and my first thing I did, and the only thing I did that day, was buy a 20-ounce Dasani water on my way to work. And my goal was to drink that 20-ounce water that day. And
That's cool because I don't, that's unique because people don't, you know, everybody's, I guess, start to diet is different. And yours, I've never heard, you know, like the drinking water side of it. You know, people go into it, you know, oh, I started eating breakfast or, you know, it always starts with like the food aspect as opposed to the drinking, you know, like drinking water. So continue. I'm sorry. I just that's a cool
You know,
thing.
so I was, you know, up until that point, I was drinking no water. I was drinking Coke. I was drinking iced tea. I was drinking coffee all day. So I was very dehydrated. You know, add on top of that, my eating choices at the time were a lot of fast food, a lot of fried food. I did a sample food log of a typical day at work for me, what I ate, and I easily was eating over 5,000 calories on most days.
Sure.
So that Wednesday, I, you know, drank that water and it just spiraled into this amazing year of change for me. I quit smoking. I was smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. About a month into this, I had quit smoking.
Good for you. That's
So
fortitude.
much good stuff.
Yeah.
And then around September, October, that following year, 2015, things started to change. And I ended up gaining all that weight back,
Okay.
plus an additional 11 pounds. Now, I did not start smoking again, which I'm very thankful for, because that was probably harder to do than the whole changing your eating and
Oh, I bet.
exercising.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
So
sure.
even though I gained that weight back and I hit a new all-time low, because there's a big difference between losing weight and regaining weight when you're just yo-yoing, and losing weight because you think you changed your life and had a year, 365 days of balance and results. It hit me in a much different way. I was public about that weight loss, not as public as I am now, but people knew via social media that I lost weight. I wasn't as in your face about it as I am now, because I'm approaching it in a different way. But people, so I knew I was out there. I knew people knew. So I think everyone's there, oh my gosh, she gained weight back. When in reality, that's not how it is.
Sure,
People
sure.
don't notice. I mean, sure, people talk about what you're doing with your weight. You're always going to have that. But the fact is, I've been overweight forever. Me losing that weight was a blip, in anyone else's mind. They just know me as Jen, the overweight person. So
Yeah.
me being overweight again was not really noticeable. It wasn't a big thing. Like, people didn't really. I had started gaining weight back and was like halfway back to my 100-pound regain, and people were still telling me how great of a job I was doing, not realizing how successful I was. And now I'm going
Now you're
backwards,
going backwards, yeah.
and I wasn't public about going backwards. I didn't say, hey, I'm having a really sucky day and I binge ate and I ate way too much. I didn't talk about that. I just saw myself failing, and I was embarrassed, and I was depressed, and I was
For
so
sure.
angry
For
at
sure.
myself.
Yeah.
So, long story short, with that, I gained that weight back, and
Okay.
I'm miserable, and I couldn't restart. I could not restart.
How long was the down period? How long did that go on for? Just the weight gain kind of spiraling back.
I would say that started in October of 2015, got really, really bad and low through 2016. And then the beginning of 2017 was when I was like, I can't live like this. Like,
Sure.
this something, so I can't keep losing weight to gain weight, especially now that we're adding this emotional toll to it. So in June of 2017, I made my very first therapy appointment.
Okay.
And I went to see a therapist, and my appointment, when she said, why are you here? Like, what do you want out of therapy? I said, I have no idea. I have never, mental health is not talked about, period, growing up, so I know nothing about mental health. I am afraid that you're gonna diagnose me with being crazy because you're a therapist, and why am I here? So, but you're my last resort, and I've been fighting this my whole life, and I need to know why I keep going back to food.
Sure.
So, maybe that appointment into the next appointment, it was okay. Well, you have some pretty deep anxiety, and I think that's why you're eating. And so we spent the next 8 months working on anxiety, not food. We didn't talk about food. We didn't talk about eating. We didn't talk about trying to lose weight. I didn't try to lose weight. I wasn't actively, focusing on Monday, I'm going to do this. It was just
It was
therapy and
anxiety.
anxiety.
Yeah, 'cause that's
Yes.
the I mean that's my big thing too, is because, for the most part, especially with beginning any kind of new diet or workout plan, people tend to overhaul everything, right? They take
Yes.
everything they used to do and they think that they did something very wrong. So they implement all this new stress into their life by grabbing another like big fad diet that requires you to take a massive step right out of the gate. And for you, the whole stress management thing is, in my mind, the first step that should be taken with anything. You know, it's not, it's not the diet or the workout even. Like, I would even say you could continue with what you've been doing, but if your stress isn't managed, then your body is going to take, you know, take the toll from that. So,
right.
But continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I saw her, you know, she of course knew my history, my weight loss. She knew that I had lost this huge weight, you know, lost back in 2014 and 2015. Mm-hmm. And a little side note with that 2014 weight loss was when I had lost that 100 pounds, there was this, I got to this place where I had this calling, or I didn't call it a calling, I had this feeling that I needed to do something with my experience. You know, I had to show other people who have been fighting obesity that it is possible.
Of course.
So I had this little feeling, and there were these lots of little scenarios that were happening in the back end that, you know, I relocated my job from one, it was the same company, but it was, you know, saving me a 45-minute commute. And I thought that was helping do something. Okay. I felt like somehow that was going to be connected to this weight loss and me helping other people thing. Okay.
Like a good change.
I just didn't understand that. I didn't understand it, but I knew at the time that these were all pieces that were happening for some other purpose.
Yeah.
So I relocated in a year of that job. Now, I had been at that company for 12 years.
Okay.
And so I relocated, saved 45 minutes off my commute. Now I relocate, and then a year goes by, and I get this other opportunity that presents itself that has nothing to do with the current field I'm in, has nothing to do with weight loss, no way can I see how that this enables me to work with people to help inspire them, but I felt like it was somehow part of it. So I changed jobs, which in fact increased my anxiety and my stress level and was one of the biggest contributors to my weight gain. Okay.
How about that? Okay.
So when you look at that from a closed-minded perspective, I could blame that whole thing on my weight gain, but I blame all that on, I needed to have that weight gain. Like, that weight gain was part of the journey. Like, it needed to happen so that I could explore the mental health piece, you know?
Yeah.
And if I wouldn't have regained that, if I wouldn't have changed jobs, if I wouldn't have gone to this max stress level that I had never experienced, wouldn't have gained that weight back, I wouldn't have made an appointment with a therapist.
So it was really,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was, it something like a new low had to happen for you to discover the missing piece. Like, yeah, I mean, as awful as it was, you know, when you experienced it, I'm sure it's, I guess that's usually what spurs on new change in people.
Yeah.
You kind of have to hit an odd rock bottom before you kind of, before you get back on the horse and you start tackling it from another direction.
Absolutely. So, and there were times, you know, when I was at that low that I knew, I didn't know what, you know, I didn't know how, I didn't know what, I didn't know when, but I knew that I was learning or gaining something from it. Just didn't know when I would see what that was. So, you know, I remember sitting in therapy and saying to my therapist, you know, how, I can't understand how, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was in a place where I thought I was somehow capable and worthy enough to inspire other people. But here I am sitting across from a therapist at 336 pounds. Not knowing what to do. Like, I just don't understand, like, how I can go from one extreme to the other, you know? So I decided, well, once we spent 8 months in therapy on anxiety, then I was able to, hey, your anxiety is controlled for the most part. Let's start focusing on weight loss. So I did.
Okay.
And I started losing weight again. I was refreshed. I was ready to go. I was re-inspired. I was ready to tackle. I had this missing piece. I decided also to have weight loss surgery, which I had never even considered. I was very adamant not to ever even consider weight loss surgery for the fact that I always said, if I know why I eat the way I do and I can figure that out, I don't need surgery. And if I can't figure out why I eat the way I do, then surgery is not going to be successful for me in the long run.
You kind of didn't, you wanted to know that you could potentially change it, you know, just you didn't want to, you didn't want to just take the, I guess, you know, the quote unquote easy way out. And it's not, it's, you know, I've seen people who've gone through that surgery and it really, it does help, like for people who've experienced, who don't kind of know where to go next, they need that extra little push. I think it's great. I really do. I agree with it. I think it's a wonderful thing to do, especially if, you know, the change needs to happen or you need to start somewhere, you know. So,
Yeah, it's a
yeah.
very useful tool for me. Like, I don't, people say, oh, you had weight loss surgery. Now, when I was going through that whole experience, I wasn't public that I was going to have weight loss surgery at first.
Sure.
And not on pur well, it was on purpose, but it wasn't because I was ashamed that I was going down this route. It was because I didn't want people to get confused with my success. I didn't want people to think, like you said, the quote unquote easy way out. I didn't want people to say, look at me and say, oh, she lost weight because she had surgery. I wanted them to see all the work I was putting in prior to me saying, yeah, I think I'm definitely going to do this. Because I was on the fence the whole time because I wasn't sure I wanted to. I mean, that's a
It's
pretty
scary.
drastic decision. Yeah,
Yeah, it's
to cut your
scary.
stomach out. Like
For
you're
sure.
removing part of your organs because you are in that desperate of a place to be healthy. You
But
know, I
you
mean,
weren't it and again, I understand what you're saying. It's like you did the work. You had already accomplished so much leading up to that point. And even though, you know, you had you hit it, you hit this other low, it wasn't, your work was super significant up to that point. You had made an incredible change, and most people couldn't do that. You know, that's
Yeah,
amazing.
so I didn't say on, you know, Facebook, 'cause at this time now I'm documenting everything. I'm talking about therapy, I'm talking
I
about
love it.
anxiety, I'm talking
I
about
love it.
depression.
Yeah.
I'm talking about taking back control now, I'm losing weight again. I'm showing people what I'm doing. And it wasn't until probably like the week before surgery, I put out there, you know, I'm having surgery. So now, like, it's like a brand new thing. Like, what is VSG? What are you doing? Like, people don't understand. Why are you doing that? You're so successful. Why would you do that? You know, so, and again, that's why I was public about it, so I could educate, you know, and
I like that.
I don't talk about my weight loss before surgery, after surgery, as in I lost blah 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 since surgery. I'd have to do the math. I know how much weight I lost prior to going into the operating room just
Sure.
because I was keeping track of my weight loss. Yeah, I mean, no, I didn't have to lose weight. I wasn't the surgeon didn't require me to lose any weight. I lost it because I was losing weight regardless of the fact, or regardless if I went through with the fact I was going to have surgery. You
Yeah.
know, I that was on the table for me to take off the table up until them wheel me back in the room, you know? So I look at it, and this is how I try to explain it to people, you know, especially people who are uneducated with the whole weight loss surgery or even obesity, because, you know, being obese is a whole nother thing that to understand.
It is.
And, you know, if someone's losing weight and they decide, hey, January 1st, I'm going to start a diet and I'm going to start losing weight. Let's say, and they start a diet, pick keto. Okay, I'm going to do keto. And they go full in and they start doing keto and they're losing weight and they're losing weight and they're losing weight. And come March, they decide to join the gym. Now they're going to add exercise. Most people are not going to tell you, well, I lost 40 pounds on keto until March. And then when I start joining the gym, I lost another 40 pounds. They just talk about that as a whole. And that's
Sure.
how I talk about surgery. Like, surgery for me was like getting a gym membership. I have a binge eating problem. I have anxiety. It's controlled now, but I still have moments that I have to work through. And sometimes the cognitive behavioral therapy tools I've learned help. And other times It doesn't. And sometimes I lose control temporarily and I'll have a binge. Well, weight loss surgery for me controls that binge. My binge is not like a person who is just 25 pounds and they just, ate too many chips and they think they binge. My binges would be, a Baconator from Wendy's with a
Sure.
supersized fry, a side of chicken tenders and cheese sauce, and still eat dinner 2 hours later.
Sure. So it
You
was, yeah,
know,
it was a
very
big calorie
different.
surplus. Yeah, for sure.
Very different. And then when you eat, regardless of how bad you go off the track, it's harder to get back on. You
It
think
is.
you just screwed up and you're not perfect. And when you're not perfect, that whole mindset of then you don't get back and you keep going. And well, I did it yesterday, so I'll just start next week. So today I'm going to that whole mindset.
Sure.
So for me, weight loss surgery is just, it's cliche to say it's a tool because that's what they tell you, it's a tool, which most people don't understand that part
It is.
until they go through it. But to me, it's like a gym membership or buying a Peloton or, downloading an app to track my calories. It's just a thing that helps me stay focused and stay on track.
Yeah, and like what you said, it's not this permanent thing that curbs everything. Like you still have to exercise self-control. You still have to fight for health. And so
Right.
it's astounding to me. It's exactly what you said. It's just another tool. It's another way to implement sort of a safeguard into your life, to help you out and to help you not experience these extreme lows. And it takes a hell of a lot of strength to say that I'm going to go into this surgery, I'm going to do these things.
Right.
I mean, I admire it. It's a big step, and it's definitely a helpful one,
Right.
So yeah, I love
So
that.
I know you didn't, this was supposed to be more about fitness, but again, this is how we're getting to fit. We're
No,
almost
it's
there, I
great.
promise.
It's no, it's perfect. I think it's wonderful to hear about that because people, the mental side of it and the stress side of it is not understood nowadays.
Right.
People take the first thoughts are the diet and the workout plan, and it's all about just starting something completely new. And nobody thinks to go down the route of making it more of a stress-free experience if you're meant to lose weight. More of like tackling the mental side, why you do certain things, where your habits stem from, and like you said, the binge eating. I'm sure people struggle, lots of people struggle with the binge eating. They struggle with maybe not eating breakfast in the morning, not getting enough sleep. There's habit changes that need to
Right.
take place before even going about making a massive change to a workout or a diet plan. And
Yeah, definitely.
I feel you there. And I'll ask you this question too. I was curious
Yeah.
about this. When you went through sort of the initial weight gain, right after your 100-pound weight loss, what was it that you were doing with diet and workout at the time when you started to experience the weight gain? Was it going back to binge eating, or was it like, what was the change that started to make you gain that initial weight back?
Honestly, the contributing factor that I can think of, and I really do 100% believe this, was it started with me stopping my exercise routine. Okay, so I don't know why I can remember times like this, but this is how my brain works. So in July of 2015, now I hit 100-pound weight loss in May. July, we went on vacation, and our vacation, we go to Mexico, and we go to Mexico for a few weeks because we visit family. And we're in Mexico, and I was eating still like how I was. I was monitoring calories, I was doing healthy balance. So nothing really about vacation was different with my food, but my exercise routine had stopped. And my exercise routine at the time, I can't remember exactly all I was doing. I was doing nothing extreme, okay, because I've never been into any extreme fitness, but I was exercising 5 to 6 days a week regularly, and I did not miss a day. And if I did miss a day, it would just my anxiety would, I
You
had to be
beat
perfect.
yourself up. Yeah,
Yeah, I
you
had to be
get all,
perfect.
yeah, you'd think that you were worthless and all this stuff. I'm sure, but yeah, 'cause that's the problem, I guess, discouragement, it's what brings you back into a low is that
Yeah, and it's
constant discouragement.
that all or nothing mentality that so many of us have, that
Exactly.
just that's why we're not successful, because we compare ourselves to perfect, and perfect doesn't exist. And when we're
Yeah.
not perfect, we think we're not worthy to keep going.
Yeah, and social media definitely doesn't help out.
Social media does not help
I
out.
know, and that's why your story is as real as it needs to be. It need you know people need to see the real stories. They can't look at the people who spend their days doing photo shoots and they sell a fancy plan. It's not gonna do anything.
Right,
It's
exactly.
temporary, and they probably won't. It won't last that long,
Right.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, so I stopped that routine. And when I came back from vacation, I was sort of like still in vacation mode. And I just spent 3 weeks not doing my routine. And even though I missed it, 3 weeks off is it's like you're hitting a reset button, you know?
Exactly.
And I tried to get back into my routine, and I didn't completely give up exercise, but it was different, and I wasn't doing it the same way. And it wasn't until, into therapy, I start connecting that, okay, so because at first I didn't buy the whole you're eating your anxiety, because I was like, you're wrong, because and my I have a YouTube channel which I'm not regular with, but
Okay.
I spoke with my therapist at a weight loss surgery thing to talk about my experience, and I really put myself out there and let my therapist talk about my sessions with this group of 100 plus people, and we recorded it, so it is up on YouTube. But she'll tell you, like, I was difficult because I'm just a very difficult person in general. Like, I don't buy BS.
Yeah.
So when she told me you're eating your anxiety, right away I was like, you're full of it, because I've been overweight my whole life, not understanding my anxiety was there the whole time.
Sure.
And when I had this weight loss, I was like, no, I lost weight for a year, a whole year,
There's no,
and
yeah, you're like,
there's
there's
no
no
way it was
way it could be
anxiety,
anxiety. Yeah.
right? But then I see how my exercising regularly suppressed that anxiety. Like, that's now, granted, my anxiety did grow tremendously over the next 2 years because of my job change.
Sure.
But the regular anxiety that I've always had in there and fought with was being suppressed by this activity.
Sure.
And when I gave it up, or it slowly started dwindling away, my anxiety started creeping back in. Now I'm adding that creeping back in, plus significant life changes of changing a job, taking on new stress at a new job. It just turned into that, led to the binge eating and the overeating and the emotional eating, feel good eating that came from, in my opinion, the letting exercise slip away.
Sure. Yeah.
So
And that's a different one too. I mean, letting the exercise slip away. So many people talk about the dieting aspect, and I think that that's exactly why exercise has always got to be implemented, because it does relieve stress. And I don't think that it can do that unless it's something people enjoy. You're not
Right.
meant to walk into the gym and just burn yourself out. You're not meant to do a crazy amount of cardio. You're just meant to go in there and do something you thoroughly enjoy doing, and just spend X amount of time in the gym. It doesn't even matter. But I mean, you're
Right.
right. It's the stress tool. It's the ultimate stress tool. So,
Right.
yeah. Yeah, I love that.
So I'm back into this, like, I'm losing weight now. I'm seeing my therapist. I'm advocating mental health. I'm talking about the real sides of weight loss surgery. I'm doing all these things, and I'm gaining a following of people on Facebook through weight loss surgery who see me as like, okay, well, she's being real.
Yeah. you're
she's like,
it's
she's
awesome.
told the truth. Like, she's not just saying, she's saying right now that she ate that and now she feels like that. And now she's talking about how her weeks before her period, it feels like she's a failure. She's saying all these things. So I have these people and I'm like, well, maybe this is it. Cause now that I'm like on a roll and I'm losing weight and I'm doing all these things and I feel like I'm in control of my mental health, I'm back to this feeling that I've had since 2014 that I'm supposed to work with other people, you know, but my anxiety is still there, you know, regardless of the medication I take, the exercise I do, you know, the control I have, anxiety is still good. You know, normal anxiety is always going to be there for people, you know?
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to do to help other people? Maybe this is it. Maybe it's just me being public on social media, but I felt like, no, there's something else. Like my job somehow is going to be helping people. I just don't know what it is. And I entered a phase in my job where I just wasn't fulfilled anymore. You know, this new job just sort of, it came and went on year three or four, I forget what the time frame was. And I said to my husband, I'm like, I just don't think this is permanent.
Sure.
And I said, I feel like I need to do something else, you know, maybe create a weight loss center where it's more about support. And, you know, I'm not educated. Like I don't have a bachelor's degree in something. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a dietitian.
But
I'm
you
not
have something better. You have real life experience. So,
right. Yeah. So like, well, how can I, you know, could I create a center where people could just come? It's not a gym, but there's gym equipment. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking all these things and, you know, I have a lot of ideas. I'm very bounce around. Like I swear somewhere in there, I have to have some sort of ADD, but I bounce around from idea to idea, idea. And when I talk out loud, my husband's not like that. So when I talk ideas out loud, he hears the idea and thinks I'm going for something where sometimes I may be, but a lot of times I'm just thinking out loud and, you know,
yeah,
he's
you're
like,
just you're brainstorming.
I'm brainstorming. Yeah. So he hears this and he's like, what are you going to hire a therapist to be? I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, this is all theoretical. Like, right now I have nothing. I have no money. I have no real idea, no concrete plan. And I'm like, so anyway, I was digging around, playing with that in my head, you know, whatever, thinking about leaving my job to go to school or adding school, but I don't want to go to school because I'm not a student. Like, I hate school.
Oh, it does. Oh, God, it sucks.
Like, it's awful. Like, that's just,
it is. No.
Going to get a degree is just not in my, I mean, I get it, things can change, but right now I have no desire.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, I don't know, getting a degree is kind of overrated at this point, you know, people need to do it your way, you know, even though you don't think you have like the formal education or whatever, it's the people who know the most are the ones who've been through it. And
right.
I had the formal education, but I had never experienced a real significant change with weight loss, you know, so I can't,
right.
I can't speak for those people. I can't be outside looking in and going, oh no, you need to do this. Like, no,
yeah.
I don't think I have the right to do that, you know? So,
so now we're up to like, we're 2019 and I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, I am exercising, you know, I'm back. I'm exercising regularly.
Good.
Not as extreme because I don't want to be all or nothing. So I'm really in tune with, it's okay to miss a day. It's okay to eat some French fries. I'm very in tune with that.
I love that.
But I am exercising because I know it's helpful and I know I need it and I'm losing weight. I'm changing my body and I'm doing all these things. And I start to dabble a little bit in, maybe I should become a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I would think about that, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you're 200 pounds. Like, who's going to hire you as a personal trainer? Every personal trainer you see is like cut and has been doing this since childhood. They were athletic. They just love muscles and protein. And that's not you. So I would, you know, think about
so
that
overrated.
And let's fall to the side. And then come October, my boss sold the company.
Okay. Wow.
And I didn't go. Me and my husband had worked together, so we worked for the same company.
Okay.
And the new owner wanted my husband to stay on.
Okay.
And he didn't. He was eliminating my position.
Wow. All right.
And when they were delivering us this information, now, usually when you get told that you're being let go, it's a scary, sad, awful
thing.
Yeah,
rough thing.
And they're talking to us, and me and my husband are together, and, you know, he knows how passionate I am about giving my all to whatever I'm doing. So it has nothing to do with the fact that I've been unhappy at this job and I feel it slipping away. He knows that I still give my job my all, and I'm being terminated, and I have never been terminated in my life.
Sure.
So we leave this meeting, and he looks at me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?
This is the greatest thing that's ever happened." Yeah.
Yes. Like, yeah. I'm being forced to explore.
You are. Yeah.
Options. You know, I would have never have done this on my own.
Yeah.
You know, because it's comfortable to know, do what you know. You know, now it I is. Don't have to do what I know. I just need to figure out what I have to do something. Right.
Yeah.
So I go on unemployment.
Okay.
And unemployment in Pennsylvania, I don't know how it is everywhere else, but they have you go through like a career link, and you get like a person that's going to help you build your resume and, you know, all these things. Cause a lot of people who go on unemployment, you know, their factory closed down or whatever. And they're older individuals a lot of times who don't have skills or education. They need help building a resume, and they need help, you know, finding a job that fits their skill set and those sort of things. So I go to meet this advisor.
Okay.
And, she hands me a paper and she said, "Are you interested in going back to school?" And I said, "Absolutely not." And she said, "Well, you know, the state will fund certain things if it's an in-demand job. Here's a list." Now, not to be sidetracked, but at the time I was sort of considering going to cosmetology school.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, I really like that. And, you know, I was knee jerk reacting. Like, now I have this opportunity. I could.
But you're just considering your options. You were just you know, you were forced to leap off a cliff. So you kind of, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you go through and you think about ways you can, I guess pick up.
Yeah. So she said that, and I'm like, oh. And so I start looking at the list, and I was like, oh, yeah, cosmetology school, of course, is not on the list, because that is not an in-demand job, you know?
No.
And I'm going down the list, and it's a lot of, like, skilled trades, you know, like electrical and plumbing, a lot of healthcare type things.
Sure.
And do you not know personal training is on this list? And she's typing, and she's asking me random questions, and she's doing her stuff. I'm just reading this list to pass time, because I am not going back to school. And I'm like, personal training is on here? And she was like, I guess, like, you're reading the paper. And I'm like,
you're reading the paper. Yeah.
Like, that's an in-demand job. Like, that's like in the same category as, like, we need plumbers and carpenters and nurses and personal trainers.
Because I guess personal trainers.
Like, to me, personal training is like, you find a good online course, you pay a couple $100 and you get, you know what I mean? Like, that's me. Because I had explored this a little bit. I kept dabbling in this. So I had already was aware of different certifications and how much they cost and how long they took, because I was already looking to do that as a something on the side to help me maybe help other people, you
of
know?
Course.
So she was like, I guess, like, you know, like, she's not, I have all these light bulbs going off. I see the universe working.
Yep.
She's doing her job. Like, this lady's crazy. Like, what is she talking about?
Yeah. You know? Why is she considering this? Yeah.
Yeah. So I took advantage of that and used the state funding to go through a course at our local college, an ACSM course.
Okay. Great certification.
To prepare you for the ACSM exam.
Yeah.
So I did that. So I went through this course and learned a lot of stuff. It was it took a different course than it should have because of COVID, because this was just all last year. But I still completed the course, and a lot of times throughout that course, the beginning part of the year when it was in person and then as it went virtual, where I had a lot of times where I think, what am I doing? Because even of the other people who were in that course with me, they were all young, they were all fit, they were all athletic.
Mid-20s dudes who don't know what they're going to do with their life, so they decide to go right into personal training.
Yeah, and so and here I am in my 40s, overweight, previously morbidly obese, had weight loss surgery, and I would get discouraged some days because I'm like, oh, I just don't fit this. And then I'd have to remind myself, but this is why you're here,
That's
because
right.
the industry needs the
Needs
person who
you.
is not the cookie cutter.
Yeah, and they don't need any more of the buff guys who are outside looking in, like telling you not to eat pizza or so, you know, just give you the straightforward, you know, usual advice. So
Yeah,
it's it,
so
that's gone. That's come and gone. We need real people, you know.
yeah, it takes a lot. And I'm not saying I don't, I mean, I still have moments of that, where people come across my page or, pop up, wherever you're watching,
Sure.
Instagram, wherever, and you're like, yeah, that's not me. But there's still a need, So I'm studying right now to take the exam. I haven't taken the ACSM exam. I want to really, really understand that 100% and get it, because that's a hard test.
It
It's
is.
very, very hard.
I took the NASM, and I don't know how ACSM is, but the NASM, it's kind of the test is a little bit of a sham. I don't know how it is for ACSM again, but they always take questions from like a pool of 500 questions, so you don't know if you're going to get the test stacked toward like facility management, or you're going to get another test that's completely about like rehab techniques or something. So it's I don't know what the ACSM is like, but that was what NASM was. So it was really, it's dumb. You walk in there and you're like, well, I didn't study for any of this, you know. You're like, I spent all this time, I don't know what I was doing. So
So I'm nervous about that test, because it's geared a lot towards, a physiologist or somebody
I
who
love
is
that.
more in tune with the medical portion on those. Like, that's sort of, to me, how the course was driven, and that just intimidates me a little bit. I mean, I have a lot of medical terminology because I worked in the medical field, but I'm not a medical professional. You know what I mean? So I can't, and I just want to inspire people and work with people who are intimidated by other people that
Sure.
are fit, So it's an intimidating test, and I'm really, now that the New Year's over and Christmas is away and things are getting back to normal, I'm delving into this to take this exam, hopefully, by February.
Sure.
And in the meantime, I did another online, like just a just a more of a your own pace, not as an accredited, probably wouldn't be accepted in most gym certification. That
Sure.
way I could start doing what I was doing, because I started teaching group fitness in June. I was asked by another instructor or another personal trainer who just does a lot of group classes, hey, could you come up with like a dance thing? Because you're always dancing in boxing class and whatever. And I'm
I
like,
love it.
yeah, I definitely could do that. So I did that, and I started teaching for her over the summer, and I loved it. Like, I had not even considered teaching group fitness up until she asked me to do it. And the first class, we had like almost 50 people come out.
Oh my gosh.
And
Well,
she's like, are you going to be okay? And I'm like, I was born for this. Like, I'm
yeah.
always, when I was going to bed at night dreaming what it would be like to be a normal weight, I also was a normal weight coming on stage as a pop star. So, like, give me a mic, put on the music, I got this.
Yeah, and that's
And
and
ooh.
that's amazing. But also too, I like it that opportunity sought you out. Like it just kind of somebody handed you a bone, and they said, here, just do this and see what happens. I kind of, yeah.
It's this whole process has been that way
Yeah,
in a
like
lot of
so
ways.
cool. So cool. You know,
So
you rose
yeah,
up, and it's
it's insane. It's
yeah.
so, like, I came up with an hour of choreography of just my
Amazing.
style, my vibe, my personality, and people loved it. And so then I had like, well, I might as well do this somewhere else. So I kept messaging different gyms and different places. I have a group certification, but I'm not certified like in Zumba or in,
One of the
Les Mills stuff.
specific,
Like, yeah,
yeah,
I don't have a
that
specific,
stuff.
and I'm very adamant that I'm not going to become, because I don't want to do what someone else is telling me to do. I want to do it my way. Like,
You were creating it yourself. Yeah, you
I'm
were
creating
totally creating it
myself.
yourself. That's cool. That's
So
awesome.
I found a CrossFit gym who was like, yeah, you can, I have space here. If you want to use it, go ahead,
How
use it.
about
So
that?
I'm like, oh my gosh, wow, like
How
this is
about that?
becoming a thing. So I start adding on these classes, and then I have another place, you know, that's locally. She was like, you can use my dance studio too. If you want to use it, it's free on this at this time. Like, you know, there's no one in it. If you want to use it, you use it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, all these opportunities. Like, so I'm teaching all these classes at now. I put the kids class on hold, but I was even doing a kids class during the day for homeschool kids who were home and not having any interaction with people.
I was homeschooled my entire life up until college. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I think that speaks volumes to me because, you know, in Louisiana where I'm at right now, you know, the homeschooling PE is not about what you're doing, you know, it's all designed to kind of have 30 kids run against 30 kids and play some sort of football. You know, I don't know. It's not organized. It's not fitness oriented. It's more just random sports and, you know, fun games. So,
yeah. So that, you know, I had, granted, COVID has played, you know, an instrumental part in all this because I would have more people come to that. But to me, when I have a class, whether, especially depending on where the class is, if it's outdoors and there's no overhead or depending on your overhead, it didn't really matter if 5 people showed up or 10 people showed up because I'm just inspiring people and I'm getting a workout in working out with these people, you know, so it's like twofold for me. Like I get a workout, you get a workout and like,
yeah, you're helping each other.
This is great. So now I'm like, okay, I need, people are asking me for personal training services, but I'm just, my anxiety is like, yeah, like I'm not ready yet.
Sure.
You know,
personal training,
finally bit the bullet.
Yeah. It's tough. It's
intimidating because, you know, I still have the whole, am I worthy to be a personal trainer? That, you know, I still struggle with that. And especially when you're not, you can take, I really believe you can take every PT course there is and get a certification every single course there is, but until you're actually working with people and seeing the difference in people and how they respond and how they hate certain things and how they tolerate other exercises and they love others, until you have that experience, it doesn't matter what certification you have. Like it comes, your greatness is going to come from each person you work with.
Exactly. And it's with anything too. It's understanding what to do and what not to do. And yeah, like these real stories about you and other people I talk to, that's actual advice. Like that's not stuff I'm going to find in a book. And I love that because that's real stuff I can apply. You know, I could take,
right.
You know, your story is something people can most certainly relate to. It's
And really that's my brand. And that's what's making people come, you know.
I
you know, I have the group fitness, people are coming to that, they're fun, they're successful, like I can do that all day every day, people are showing up for that. So the personal training, I have a friend who was like, I really want you to be my trainer. I'm like, you know what, I really need experience, so you're gonna be my first person, I'm gonna get a pig with you, and I'm going to help you build your confidence so you can start getting healthy, and you're going to help me build my confidence so I can help others.
Yeah.
And we've had quite a few sessions now, and I just decided, you know, a week or two ago, just to put it out there, like, hey, available, you know, if you want to go through it. And the amount of people who have inquired, like, I get, you know, I understand people are, especially with weight loss, like, and fitness, people come and go because people jump off the wagon, but
it's true. And matching up, you know, finding the right clients for you is also a big thing. You know, it's finding a client that can give you as much as you're willing to give them. And
right.
Yeah. Something I had to come to understand. So
You can't take it personal. Like people don't show up. You can't, you know, people don't come to your class. You don't take it personal.
Yeah, you're
people
right.
say, you know what, like, I'm not going to buy any more sessions because, you know, whatever excuse they have at the time, or maybe it just didn't vibe for them. It's not personal.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, that's something, you know, most jobs you have, you don't have to worry about the personal aspect because you just go do your job and you go home. You know, this, you really have to separate, especially understanding, you know, where I think a stereotypical trainer who always shows up and always works out and loves it doesn't understand why, you know, Jane, who has 75 pounds to lose, all of a sudden stops showing up. Mm-hmm. That, you know, he's not going to understand all of the other things that are going in through Jane's head because she feels like a failure because she wasn't perfect because she ate too much. Or, you know, I'm learning a lot, you know, working with people one-on-one, that not everybody eats too much. There are people that don't eat enough, or they eat just once a day and their body's storing everything because they don't eat.
Yeah. And I, day, and I feel like that's the real struggle. You know, I feel like people, you know, people go into a fad diet or like an intermittent fasting diet where they're meant to not eat enough, but they're already going into it without eating enough calories to begin with. So it's just you're playing a losing game.
So. Yeah, there's so many variables, and now working with people one-on-one, and I'm being, you know, not everybody is eating 6,000 calories a day.
Sure.
But, you know, there's lots of ways to become obese. And mm-hmm. once you're obese, the biggest obstacle, I think, is confidence. You know, you have to gain confidence to seek help, to figure out and understand why you are where you are. Why are you not eating? Why are you eating? Why are you not making choices? Why are you not making time? You know, you have to put in that, you have to figure out the why, or your 2 weeks, 6 weeks, however long you do this isn't going to last because you're not to the root. And
that's it. Finding the root. Finding the root. Finding the root. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, and I think so. Me, being a personal trainer, I still like sort of scoff at that word because it just, I mean, knowing where I've come from, like to say I'm a personal trainer, like I just want to be your motivator and help you like be confident and you know, and it's working. And you know, like I'm like, I don't think so. Zoom classes, you know, like we got shut down for 3 weeks here. Mm-hmm. So gyms weren't supposed to be open. And so all my in-person classes went the grid Zoom. For 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wasn't going to do them at first. I was like, oh no. Then I was like, okay, well maybe I can try Zoom. Everybody else is doing it. So let me try it. And I did 3 weeks of free Zoom classes. I did 3 a week and people were coming. And I'm like, okay. And I have people from California. I have people from Florida. I have people from Vermont. Like, so not just my people from my normal classes. I opened it up and, you know, I have a presence with the bariatric community on Facebook. So
sure.
I have other people seeing it. And it's not just bariatric people that are interested in me, which is what's really thrown me for a loop. You know, I thought I would attract all these overweight, obese people to my classes and sessions, but it's women who struggle with confidence and struggle with realness and want someone that makes them feel real, you know? Yeah. So that's overwhelming to me when someone who is actually looks fit and is definitely in better physical condition than me is showing up to my classes and getting something from me. Like that's overwhelming to me some days, like to see that, like that this many people actually are finding value in what I'm giving.
Well, and the bariatric community is such an untapped market. Like if you can make your place, you know, make it known that you've experienced exactly what they're going through and that kind of thing. I mean, my God, they want to follow you. They want to know your journey. They want to be with you on it. You know, it's such a special thing. So you kind of unconsciously found this niche, you know, this untapped potential in the fitness industry. And I think
it's how I'm helping other people. Like it's crazy. I did not think that it would be fitness, you know, but you know, as a personal trainer, and one thing that I learned in the ACSM course from my instructor was who I believe she's a physiologist. I don't remember what she actually is, but she does personal training too, but is just like any other job where you're providing a service, whether you are doing hair or you're doing nails or you know janitor.
when you're
around people, you're going to end up almost playing a role of a therapist. People are going to tell you things because they just need to talk. And
Sure.
she said a lot of being a personal trainer is also being a therapist. You're going to listen. You're not going to always know what to say, but
Yeah.
people need to vent and get things out.
They do, and they want to be
And
heard.
it's like, yeah, okay, well, that makes sense, because that's sort of like, people will message me, hey, this is, I'm having surgery, and what can I do? Well, I say the same thing to every person, whether or not they're having surgery or not. Well, why do you eat the way you do? What would you,
Yeah.
well, I don't know. Well,
Yeah.
that's what you got to spend the next 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 years, whatever, figuring out.
Yeah,
Like,
however long it takes, and it could
still
be
keep trying,
arduous.
still, try to eat healthier, still learn how to eat healthier, learn about portion control, learn about exercises, learn what exercises you like. If you don't like doing burpees and you hate them, don't do them. You don't have to do what everybody tells you you have to do. There are ways to be active and healthy that are not like everyone else.
Yeah, it's about
Like
seeking
that's
out sustainability for yourself.
right. And I do exercises I don't like, but I do not do exercises I hate. And I always tell people, I'm like, hey, I don't like these either, but we're gonna do them. But we're not doing burpees. So there, you have that. If you want a burpee, do it on your own time. Because in my classes, we don't do burpees because I despise them.
I hate
Like, it just
burpees. I do. I try, 'cause it falls into like that CrossFit thing, as you're doing burpees, you're like, "Oh, I've become one of them. I've become a CrossFitter or something." I don't know. That's always what goes through my head. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Anyway,
I
sorry.
like exercises that are challenging, but I don't want to do exercises that make me feel or make my client feel like they are never going to be able to do something. Like, if you've been overweight for a lot of your adult life, if you're over 40, even if you're over 35, stuff hurts.
Yeah, it does. Oh, for
You
sure.
know,
Yeah, you have
it
pains.
hurts. So it's not realistic to have everybody doing burpees,
It's true.
Like, can you do like crawl outs? Can you bend over and walk out, come back? Sure, those you'll do in my class. Yes, you hate them. Yes, I hate them. Yes, they make you sore, but
Except
it's
they're
not burpee.
transferable, and they make sense in the grand scheme of things. Those kind of things are like are things you might apply to normal activities in your daily life, as opposed to burpees, which is not, I can't, you're not gonna do a burpee movement, in your
Right.
everyday life. So,
Right. But if you something rolls under the table, you need to be able to crawl down there and get it and get back
Exactly.
up.
This is so true. It's you're adding this aspect of transferability to your exercises, and you're considering lifestyle. It's pretty cool. It's cool. Something more trainers should do. So,
Yeah. So that's how I got here. And I'm just beginning. Like, I'm really just starting this whole part of the journey. I spent the past year really gaining confidence in my knowledge of what I'm talking about as far
absolutely
as
wonderful.
physical activity goes, because that's what helps my confidence and my self-esteem. And I'm going to spend the next year really just applying that. And I'm very grateful for, the individual who said, do you want to teach a dance class? Because she hates dance and she's a boxer and she teaches us boxing. I'm grateful for her to say, hey, I want to give variety to my people.
Yeah, and that started you on that journey. That just that one little opportunity kind of got you
Yeah,
going,
that
huh?
opened the door to, like, hey, I was going to be a personal trainer, but I didn't know, how that was going to roll out, what I was going to do with that. I was just starting that. So
Sure.
that really, that her opening that door for me and me being confident enough to say, well, I never did it, but I'm going to do it. And being
Yeah.
able to say, okay, well, I could easily go on YouTube and learn different dance fitness choreography. Okay. But that wouldn't be Jen.
That wouldn't be you. No,
It wouldn't be me.
you're entirely in it for creating something and being
Right.
unique. Yeah. Yeah.
And, I people say, even now, like, people are like, can I take your Zumba class? I'm like, well, I don't teach Zumba. And if you've ever been to Zumba, this is not, you'll see in the very first class that this is not like Zumba. But
Amazing.
I have nothing against Zumba. I love Zumba. I used to do Zumba
But that's not
many
you.
times, but that's not what I
That's
want to
not you.
teach.
Exactly.
I need to be able to give my personality in the class. And I'm not, you know, it's just like the people who create all these things and they become their thing. That's what I'm doing. And it's on a much smaller scale, but I'm not going to compromise what my vision, I guess, you know, for the sake of comfort. Would it be more comfortable just to go get a certification and get a track emailed to me every 6 weeks and teach it? Sure, that
Hell
would be
yeah.
comfortable and that would be easy. But there's a gazillion other people doing that already. We don't need Jen to do that.
Exactly. And it's and that's why people are so attracted to you, is because it's your mission is different, and it's based on an entirely different lifestyle component, you know? So it's man, that's wonderful. Is there a name to the particular type of dance you've done? Like, have you branded it? You've named it?
No, I
Okay.
mean, I just call my classes are all Too Fab. It's either Too Fab Dance Fitness, Too
Too Fab
Fab
Dance Fitness. Okay.
Dance Toning is really, I only have one actual dance fitness class now.
Okay.
And I, you know, that was the original class that I started choreographing for, and I still do one of those, but I really find that I enjoy more incorporating that with strength. So most of my classes now that I do are in my Zoom classes this way, and my dance toning class, and I'm starting a six week strength training next week for
Okay.
people that bought that package. Is we do d like a dance cardio type of warm up, you know,
Okay.
where it's choreographed. And it my stuff is less dancey and it's more about we just do repetitions to the music, you know, and I pick, in my opinion, really good music. Like I do a lot of 80s stuff, which is, you
It's
know, to
peppy.
my age
It's
group,
yeah. Yeah.
it's that's what's catchy, you know. And I've been really watching a lot of the old 80s aerobics, bringing back a lot of those moves into my stuff.
Oh, that's, I got to give you credit though. That's clever. And the idea, I have never seen it before where somebody takes the concept of dance but applies it to weightlifting. That's what's so cool about it, is because I've never thought, simple as it may seem, I've never thought about the whole repetitions to music through dance. Like, that's kind of it's fringe stuff. It's good. It's like it's people are gonna see that and be like, oh, hell yeah, like I wanna do that, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's so many people like, oh, I don't dance. Like, I don't have any rhythm. Like, we don't
It's
need
not
rhythm.
dance,
Like,
yeah.
we're squatting, you know, we're doing leg lifts. I mean, am I going to make you shake your butt here and there? I am, because that's, you know, who I am. But
That's
you
too
shake it the way you
fab.
do, right? Like,
Yeah.
it's your style, your way. But you can jumping jack and you can walk it back and forth and you can kick your leg. Like, it's not so much about, you know, dance steps as it is just moving and getting your heart rate up and doing these things. And so,
Yeah.
like in my dance toning class, like we do, like we'll do a song where we're doing cardio and it's more choreographed. And then we go through like a whole leg thing where, you know, we do different leg exercises. Then we go back into a cardio song. And it's almost like a HIIT workout, but with a different spin on it, you know.
I
So we're
freaking love
going
that.
dance, strength training, dance, strength training. And we go back and forth with that, and you know, at the end of it, people got cardio, they got strength training, and they sweat, and they it's so funny because this past week I really have been I've been getting a lot of feedback, and the common a common comment I'm seeing is I can't get over how quick an hour can go. Like, it's such a good workout, but you have fun. It's fun. It's fun. Like, and that's my whole platform, you know, without that asking them to say that. Like, I just want to make it fun. Like, I want you to be like, oh God, I'm not gonna go here and do this crap. Like, oh, I hate it. Like, I don't want to go. Never mind, stay home. Like, they know they're gonna feel good and have fun.
You want to show people that the workout experience is meant to be not only fun but very, very much about variety and creating different avenues for you to do strength training or do dance, you know. And that's, man, that's amazing, 'cause it really is. It's cool stuff. I haven't heard of that before. It's new. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
fresh.
it's fun. And at the end of the day, like, yeah, my goal is to help and inspire people. Definitely. Like, that's, I'm trying to make that my job. That's my mission. That's what I feel my purpose is right now, and I'm pursuing it. And I'm following every door that opens. I'm just gonna keep walking through it. And just like you posting up, asking for people to do your podcast, I'm like, well,
Yeah.
I might as well. Like,
I
there's a
love it.
reason. There's a reason I'm coming across these things, and that's all my number one goal. But right beside that goal is I need to keep myself healthy and on track. And what better way to hold myself accountable than make myself available for other people to show up?
Exactly. And people will only listen to this and want to experience more of that message. You know,
Yeah.
it's that's the beauty behind it, is that people will see your push to help people through these amazing new avenues and new approaches to fitness. So, and
Yeah.
it's cool because I love the, you know, I it's so funny. Zumba is Zumba, and you know when somebody's doing a Zumba class, because they always walk in there with like the little gold skirts or whatever, and you know they always have the freaking the Zumba skirts. And so
Yeah.
I like the fact that yours tackles the idea of attracting everybody. You know, it's, you know, maybe guys don't want to do Zumba because they don't want to wear the skirts or something, and this is
Yeah.
like, nah, it's for everybody. You're gonna
It's so
breathe hard no
funny.
matter who you are.
I had the class I teach up at the CrossFit gym. It's not, the CrossFitters that go there have nothing to do with my class. Like, I just use the space. He doesn't advertise for me. Like, it's all my,
It's
he's
all
like, you can
you.
use my space, but you have to bring your people. I'm like, yeah, I just need space. And the one day, they're just finishing up one of their CrossFit sessions as my class starts. And this guy who's like cut, like you would think he is like a fitness model, like
Yeah,
perfect
shredded dude.
condition, totally shredded. He's like, hey, can I stay and take your class? And I was like,
And there you go. There
I
you
was like,
go.
you certainly can. I said, but just so you're gonna get a real workout now.
That's
And
good.
he was
That's
like,
good.
oh,
That's
that's
good.
funny. And he took the class, and afterwards he said, well, you weren't kidding. He's like, you actually
Yeah.
made me sweat. And I was
Yeah.
like, yeah, and it was nice for the girls because, I mean, most of my class, well, all of my classes really are girls. They're open to men, but again, men are a little bit more
We got.
hesitant to join a class like that.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I think it's the ego side of it too, and you know, guys are our goal is always, you know, build muscle, get bigger. And so you know,
Right.
we don't automatically go into something like that. We see like cardio, that's our first thought. And I don't know. There's just different
Yeah.
aspects, different self-esteem issues going on, you know. So
Yeah.
it's
But no,
true.
he took it. The girls were like, oh my God, he's taking our class. And I was like, he is. So you better make him like work.
Yeah,
Like,
and that's living proof of just the attractiveness of that class, you know?
yeah, it was great. It
How
was
great.
really fun to have someone like that take the class
Love
and
it.
get a workout. Like,
Yeah, and
because
feel it.
sometimes I feel like, is my stuff too easy because I'm, an overweight individual who makes things easy, but then people are like,
No.
You killed me yesterday. So it's like, it's not easy. Like, it's
It's
easy if
not.
you want it to be easy, but it's also hard if you want it to be hard.
It sounds like you've experimented enough to find that balance of intensity and fun, and that's the God, that's the tough thing with being a group instructor. That's why I could never. It was tough for me because I didn't know what was too hard or too easy. It's hard.
And
So.
it's so fun. Like, I mean, I'm just so grateful to be doing it. Like, the rush I get being like in front of the people and helping them. And like, even if you're just like, Mary, butt down further, you can do it, and then you have the person who is just beginning, who you're able to, like, 'cause you can see all that. Like, you are in tune with that. You can tell who is being, like, who's not giving it their all and who's giving it their all, but
You can
this is
see
the
it.
their all. You can see it, and like, you can see the growth. You can see, I don't know, it's just, to me, it's so fulfilling.
I like
It's so
seeing the
good.
growth. I like that because I think it might be easier to see the growth on a group training perspective, because with like a personal training thing, I feel like there's so many more variables you have to tackle. And group training, it's wonderful because everybody can make use of you, but they can also make use of themselves and work as a team toward that goal. And I think, I mean, I don't know, I feel as though it's better for the exercise perspective. You know, you're not just working out with one person, you're working out with a bunch of people who are helping each other. And it just makes your job all the more, you know, a little bit easier. Not to say you don't have to, you still have to listen and you still have to be in tune to them, but it's, you know, people are helping each other in that group training environment. And I love that, man. That is so cool. Yeah,
definitely.
Well, I'll definitely.
Yeah. And this is all 6 months. Like, yeah. This has all happened in 6 months. So, God.
And that's quick. Well, that's so quick.
Not all,
that's so
but
great.
That's the fitness portion of it. Yeah. So, when I say, this is like just getting started, like we're just at the bottom of the mountain. Like,
yeah.
I'm really, really excited to see what the next 12 months bring, because I just feel so good about it. Like this is it. This is what I've been preparing for basically all of my life.
Yeah. And 2020 brought that kind of unexpected gift to you of the revelation that you do have something very unique to give to the world of fitness. Yep. And God, that's so cool. Well, Ms. Jen, thank you.